This is a shiur in Likutei Sichos, Chelek Yud Ches, Sicha of Pinchas, the second Sicha. In the end of the Sedra, after the Parsha goes through all the various Korbanos, Parshas Pinchas has all the Korbanos relating to all the various Yomim Tovim. It has the daily Korbanos, the Korban Tamid. It has the extra Korbanos, the Musaf of Shabbos, and of Rish Chedesh, and of every Yom Tov. At the end it says that Moshe spoke to the Bnei Yisrael everything that Hashem had commanded Moshe. Why does this Pasuk have to sum up at the end that Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed everything to the Bnei Yisrael? Is it critical? Is it so vital to tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu fulfilled what the Eibishter said? I mean, Hashem told him, Tzavis Bnei Yisrael, command the Bnei Yisrael, tell them about bringing the Korbanos. So obviously he fulfilled it. And we actually find in many places that we find that the command of Hashem to Moshe is written in the Torah, but the Torah does not follow up and say how Moshe afterwards fulfilled this command and actually conveyed it to the Yidden. We know that happened, but the Torah doesn't have to come and give us confirmation of that. Square brackets. It's simple why the Torah doesn't have to write it, because since Hashem told it to Moshe in order that Moshe should convey it to the Eden, so definitely Moshe Rabbeinu did that. And it's so simple that Rashi doesn't even have to tell us. You know why it doesn't always say that? It says Hashem spoke to Moshe to say, right? And gives a whole instruction. It doesn't say that Moshe actually said it. Rashi doesn't even have to explain why the Torah doesn't follow up on that. It's simple that obviously if Hashem asked him to say it, he did. He said it. So why here does the Torah have to give an unusual summation and say Moshe spoke all the things that Hashem commanded him about the Moyadim, about the Yomim Tovim? So Rashi picks up on this. Rashi says, why does the Torah tell us here that Moshe Rabbeinu repeated all the information about the Yom Tov? He says, this is lahafsika inyan divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says this is in order to interrupt the topic between this topic about Korbanos. Hashem spoke to Moshe about the Korbanos. Moshe Rabbeinu, now the Torah says, told the Bnei Yisrael the Korbanos. And now there's new topics. To interrupt between the old topic, new topic, we have this roundup. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke it to the Bnei Yisrael. Continues Rashi, because till now Hashem had been speaking about Korbanos, and now when it's the next parsha is called Parshas Matos. The portion of Matos starts, Vaydaber Moshe Rashi Matos. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the leaders of the tribes, and he spoke about the laws of Nedarim, about the laws of vows. So the Torah interrupts between Hashem's instruction of the Yomim Tovim to Moshe, and Moshe is talking about vows with this one pasuk that says that Moshe repeated all the instructions about Korbanos of Bnei Yisrael, because otherwise it would seem that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu didn't repeat that. Maybe he went straight on to speaking about Nedarim, speaking about the laws of vows. However, you have to understand. True, if it wouldn't have said that Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed the previously transmitted information about the Yom Tov and Yisrael, yes, it would seem from the pasuk, it may seem that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't repeat it, right? But as we just said right before, we said it's obvious that Moshe Rabbeinu would have repeated it. How would we be thinking that just because it didn't indicate in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu repeated it, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't repeat it? I mean, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, instruct the Bnei Yisrael about the Yom Tovim. So even if it doesn't say it befeirush, how would we assume that Moshe went straight on to speaking about Nedarim and didn't repeat the information he was asked to tell the Bnei Yisrael? Again, as we emphasized earlier, it doesn't always tell us when Moshe Rabbeinu repeated it. But we know that if Hashem told him to say it, then he said it. So why over here do we need this explicitness that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Bnei Yisrael about the Moyadim? The Ramban explains that the pshat, the meaning in the words of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that it comes to interrupt the topics. It comes to create an interruption. If it wouldn't say the pasuk Vayeme Moshe that Moshe spoke about all the Yomim Tovim to the Bnei Yisrael, we would not know what the next following words go on. It says the Moshe spoke to the head of the tribes. We wouldn't know, does it mean that he spoke to the heads of the tribes what we just previously discussed about the Yomim Tovim? or what he's about to discuss about the laws of vows. That's why the Torah writes at the end of the discussion of our previous seder about the Karbanos that Moshe spoke to the Bnei Yisrael all the details of the Karbanos in order to create an interruption. We should know that. Let's finish this topic of Karbanos. Moshe Rabbeinu repeated what Hashem told him to the Bnei Yisrael. And now Moshe Rabbeinu starts a new topic. He spoke to the heads of the tribes about Nedarim. And in many places, as the Rebbe here in square brackets, many places when we say that there's a pasuk that's brought, lahafsik or inyan, to interrupt, that's indeed what it means. As Rabban brings, and Rashi himself brings, in a later pasuk, there's a pasuk in Parshas Matos that says, now after the Jews come back from doing battle with the Midianites, and there are people to be dealt with, so pasuk says that every male member should be killed, and every woman who's of age to have had a relationship should be killed. So why doesn't it just say kill every male and every woman who's of the age of relationship? The Torah says after the sentence about woman of the age of relationship, kill every male and every woman of the age of relationship, kill. Why the second word haroigu, you should kill? So he said that the second time it says haroigu is in order to interrupt between what? Because it says that all the children keep alive. So if it says all the males kill, all the women of age of relationship, and then it says all the children keep alive, where does that middle sector of women go? Does it go on the earlier part with the males that they should kill? Or does it go with the children at the latter part that should be kept alive? So therefore, there's another word, harogu, you shall kill, after that stipulation, after that additional detail about the women, so that we know where the word, which goes to where, right? So here too, that was what it mean. We don't know, we want to make sure that the opening pasuk of next week's parsha, which is Moshe spoke to leaders of the tribes, we want to make sure that we understand it's going on the next topic about keeping vows, not on the previous topic about karbanos. However, that's the way that Ramban learns, but with Rashi, you can't learn that that's what Rashi means. Why? Because Rashi changes the language of Sifri. Sifri said, I don't know, I wouldn't know without this pasuk, what the pasuk of Moshe spoke to the heads of the tribes, what it goes on. Rashi doesn't bring that. He writes, simply and explicitly, that if the pasuk wouldn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke the topic of the Yomim Tovim to the Bnei Yisrael, I would make a mistake. Not that the next pasuk by Daber Moshe Rashi Matis goes on the repetition that he said about the holidays, about the Yom Tevim. No, I would say that he just simply didn't give them that information. He never repeated the laws of the Karbanos. Right? That's where Rashi learned. So what does that mean? What do you mean? Why would we assume if it doesn't say that Moshe repeated it, that he didn't repeat it? Many times, the Torah doesn't explicitly say that Moshe repeated what he was told to repeat to the Bnei Yisrael. He did it. We know he did it. Gimel, also we have to understand, as the Ramban asks, also in the portion of Emer, so this is Pinchas, we have a discussion of all the Karbanos, all the Yomim Tovim. In Parshas Emer, the Torah introduces to us all the Yomim Tovim. It's called Parshas HaMoedes. The Parshas speaks about the Yomim Tovim. Also there at the end of the Parsha of the Moedes, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke all the festivals of the Jews to the Bnei Yisrael. Again, the same concept. It says, after it says that Hashem commanded him tell the Bnei Yisrael about all the festivals, and then it says at the end, it sums up, Moshe spoke all the festivals to the Bnei Yisrael. And Taki in Midrashi Chazal, in the Midrashim, we find a few explanations why that pasuk needs to be written, but Rashi over there doesn't ask anything about it. So here, in Parshas Pinchas, where it says that Moshe repeated everything he does ask, there he doesn't. So we don't understand. If in Pshut HaShemik, of the simple reading of the pasuk, we need an explanation, why does it say that Moshe actually conveyed what he was told to convey? And over here we do give a reason. Why don't we give a reason there? In the first time we have this concept in Emor that it says that Moshe spoke all the Yom Tovim to Bnei Yisrael. Why doesn't it say? Why doesn't Rashi jump in and say, you know why this pasuk needs to be written? More than that, the explanation that Rashi gives over here that the Torah wanted to create an interruption and say, till here. Is what Hashem spoke, and now Moshe repeated it. And now, ongoing, it's Moshe Rabbeinu starting to talk about vows. You can't say that in Parshas Emor, that explanation, because there, right after it says that Moshe spoke the Yomim Tovim to Bnei Yisrael, as he's been instructed, it starts right away, the next pasuk starts, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying. So that's obvious that that's a new topic. So we didn't need that summation there, it seems. So in other words, why over there doesn't Rashi explain? Why does it say that Moshe Rabbeinu repeated the instructions about the Yom Tovim to the Bnei Yisrael? Dalit. The reason... We could say that the reason why the question about the words that Moshe Rabbeinu repeated the instructions of Yisrael only appears here, and in Parshas Emor, it's not a question, we could explain it very simply. The Parsha about the Yom Tovim, the way it's said in Parshas Emor, it said very, in the context, is that it's very close to the actual putting up of the Mishkan. Before the Bnei Yisrael are counted on the first of the second month, Parshas Chumash Bamidbar, Sif Bamidbar starts speaking about Be'echad L'Chadishin, the first of the second month and the second year. When was the Mishkan put up? The Mishkan was put up the first month of the second year, Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan was when the action started happening in the Mishkan. And that's when, right after that, is when Moshe Rabbeinu got an instruction about the Yom Tovim. And there are information there in the Yom Tovim which weren't relevant yet, because you could only fulfill them when you come into Eretz Yisrael. For example, the Omer that had to be cut from the first barleys, that was only when they went to Eretz Yisrael and they actually planted and harvested. The law that you can't eat from the first wheats, the laws of bringing the first wheat as bread on Shavuos, Shtei Alechem, as the Karbonis of Chag HaShavuos, these things are only applicable when you went to Eretz Yisrael. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu was told them by Hashem at the beginning of the 40 years, right after the Beis HaMikdash, right after the Mishkan was established. That's really the beginning of the second year in the desert. So you could think, Moshe gave everything over, all the information that Hashem ever gave him, Moshe gave over to the Jews. And usually, he did it immediately. Right after he got the information, the instruction, he right away shared it with the Jewish people. As it says, Rashi brings down about the Matan Torah, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go from the mountain to his house and deal with his issues and then go and teach the Jewish people. He went straight from the mountain when he got the information from Hashem, straight to the people to teach. But you would think perhaps that in this case, because a lot of the details of the Karbanis only become applicable when they go into Eretz Yisrael, so maybe he didn't do it right away. He didn't give it over right away. Because it's not relevant practically right away. So Moshe Rabbeinu was busy, you know, he had to teach, he had to answer questions. We know that everything that nobody else could answer came to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he had to teach Bnei Yisrael what they should do, as it says in Parshas Yisro. He had to deal with a daily grind and teaching day by day. So you would think maybe he didn't feel it so important to go and share this information, that much of it or part of it will be relevant only when they go to Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't have to be shared right now. We can do it a little bit later today. Let's deal with the pressing matters. Especially according to the Deya in the Braisa, which Rashi brings in Emor. That from that it seems that the parsha about the Yom Tovim was said after the information about how the Bnei Yisrael should travel based on the Golim, on their being divided up into various flags, into various groups. And there are many other parshas that needed to be spoken about that contained implementable things. For example, counting the Bnei Yisrael, the way they should be divided up in various flags, you know, groups of three, four groups of three tribes, each one under their own degel, their own flag, the way they should travel. Pesach Sheni, the laws of Pesach Sheni. So you have all this other information that needs to be shared, which is relevant right now. And now you have the Karbanis, that much of it is relevant only when they go to Eretz Yisrael. So you could think maybe he delayed that transmission. That's why the Pasuk Zen Emor says, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke all the Yomim Tovim that Hashem had told him, and he said it right away, all the details. And this itself teaches us that when Hashem says that, the Pasuk goes like this, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, Hashem says, speak to the Bnei Yisrael, tell them all about the festivals of Hashem. From the fact that the Pasuk later says, Moshe spoke about it and conveyed it right away, it tells us that Indeed, Hashem may tell it to them right away, even though it may not be relevant right away. However, in our parsha, you can't explain that that's why. That's the beginning of the 40 years. The Torah needs to tell us the Moshe didn't delay the conveyal of the information because it wasn't relevant yet. You'd think maybe it was delayed. However, in our parsha, this is the end of the 40 years. And Hashem is telling Moshe, instruct the Bnei Yisrael, tell them about the Karbonis. So obviously Moshe had to convey it right away. It's the end of 40 years. If he doesn't tell it now, when's he going to tell it? So then the question arises, why does the Pasuk tell us here that Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed all that information right away? What's the... Obviously. So that's why Rashi had to answer that this Pasuk comes to interrupt between two topics, between the topic of Karbonis, the topic of the vows. If it wouldn't be this Pasuk that says that Moshe, that sums up and says Moshe gave the information, I would think that maybe Moshe didn't. He just started speaking about the matter. So the question is, why would I think the Moshe didn't convey it? That we're still going to explain. Hey, according to this, is also understood. Rashi quotes who said this word. It says these words, Rabbi Shmuel. This explanation, why it doesn't say, we just explained why in Parshas Emor, it has to say that Moshe conveyed the Moed es Bnei Yisrael. Why not? Because I may think that if it didn't, we just explained. I would think that maybe it was pushed off because it wasn't relevant right away. And therefore, according to that explanation, we say that there I understand why the Torah had to put in an extra, tell us that he repeated it because he may have been pushed off. But here there's no such thing. And that causes us to look for an answer why here the Pasuk says that Moshe conveyed the information of Yisrael. But all this discussion is really only relevant according to the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion, there's an argument to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that the entire Torah, Klolos Uprotos, all the generalities of the Torah, all the details of the Torah, they were all said at Sinai. They were repeated at the Oyel Moed, and they were said a third time at Arves Moed before Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. Even though you don't see all the details always being spoken openly in the Torah, they were, everything was at Sinai, all the details, it was repeated at the Oyel Moed, the Mishkan was repeated at Arves Moed before they went into Israel. Rabbi Shmuel has a different opinion. Rabbi Shmuel says that the generalities, the general mitzvahs were all said at Sinai. Detailed, they were all said, they were all taught in the Oyel Moed. And Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed them from the Oyel Moed. So therefore, if you hold like Rabbi Shmuel, you could be thinking that indeed, Moshe Rabbeinu may not have spoken all the details right when they were given. Because we see that there were things that were only extrapolated or spoken about in detail later by the Oyel Moed. You see, according to Rabbi Akiva, who says everything was said in all its detail, also at Sinai, and then just repeated again in the Oyel Moed and the third time in Arves Moed. According to Rabbi Akiva, what comes out is that all the details were said, even if they're not applicable. Even if they were not implementable, they were all said at Sinai, and then they were repeated, and they were said a third time. So, why would I think that Moshe Rabbeinu would have waited to say something? And that's why, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no question in the first place. Because you know why you need a pasuk? Why does the pasuk say that Moshe Rabbeinu repeated the laws of the Bnei Yisrael? That's not a question. Sometimes the Torah tells us, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it tells us that Hashem spoke to Moshe, and Moshe said it to the Bnei Yisrael. Sometimes it doesn't. So there's no question on the parsha. In other words, if you're of the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, that says that everything was said at Sinai, and then repeated the El Moed, repeated Al Moed, we know that we don't see all that written explicitly in the Torah, right? So it's obviously the Torah chooses to write some of that narrative, some of those details, and sometimes the Torah doesn't. You can't really ask why sometimes yes, sometimes not. Rabbi Kiva takes into account that there's reasons for that, but we don't know necessarily. So it's not a question why here it says that Moshe repeated it. Not. Everywhere Moshe was told everything, and Moshe repeated it. Sometimes we're told about it, sometimes not. So why don't we just say that in this case, why don't we just answer also simply? Also according to Rabbi Shmuel, sometimes it says, sometimes it doesn't. No, he says you can't answer that. This teretz. According to Rabbi Shmuel, why not? Because you could say that this itself is part of the argument. This is the essence of the argument to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Kiva, that says that the Torah was said in all its detail, its generalities and its detail, was said at Sinai, repeated in Eil Moed, a third time in Avos Mayav. We have to say, even though all the mitzvahs were said in general and in detail three times, the Torah doesn't tell us about all those instructions. The Torah just tells us part of how it was said and repeated, right? So that would fit in over here. So that sometimes the Torah says it, sometimes it doesn't. Here it says that Moshe Rabbeinu repeated to Bnei Yisrael. We don't have a system of figuring out about what it does say, what it doesn't say. But Rabbi Yishmael, who says that the generalities were said at Sinai, then the details were spoken about more detail at El Mayed, we could say that he holds it generally. The way that the Torah was transmitted and the schedule of transmission was exactly the way it says in Torah. See, according to Rabbi Kiva, there's a lot that's not said. You have to, if he says everything was repeated, was said in detail at Sinai, a lot of stuff we know that we don't see it said at Sinai. So obviously there's a lot that wasn't written about the detail of how it was said and when it was repeated and so on. According to Rabbi Shmuel, though, no reason for us not to say that he says what you see written, that's the way it was. This detail was given then, and then this detail was given later, right? So therefore, if Rabbi Yishmael is of the opinion that where you see this matter being told, that's where it was actually transmitted. So here it says that Moshe Rabbeinu repeated to the Bnei Yisrael the details of the Yom Tovim. It must be that there's some nuance here, there's some piece of information here. It's not just sometimes he says it, sometimes he doesn't. Wherever it said, there's some important information that we need to know about this. So if it's according to Rabbi Yishmael that we have the question, why over here does the Torah repeat that Moshe said what Hashem had told him? The reason in general why we have two parshas about Yom Tovim and why do we have it brought in Emor and Pinchas, there's two approaches, but let's see first. In both parshas we have two items. So one of the parshas, one item is more highlighted, and in the other one, the other is more highlighted. What two items we have in both parshas? In Emor, mainly there's the emphasis on the prohibition of doing work and on the particular mitzvah of each Yom Tov. It also speaks generally about the karbanis, but there's less detail there about the karbanis. Here in Parshas Pinchas, we have the main emphasis is about the details of the karbanis that were brought on the days of Shabbos or Shchedesh and every Yom Tov. And there's also a mention about the prohibition of doing work. So it's more about the karbanis here in Pinchas. We can explain why there's these two parshas. We can explain it in two strains of thought. One way of thinking is that they were told to Moshe as separate two parshas in different times. The portion of Emor was said close to the erecting of the Mishkan because we need to know how to do Yom Tovim. And this parsha, our parsha, at the end of 40 years. Why didn't it say our parsha right after the Mishkan was set up? This parsha, Pinchas, is focused more on Karbanis. Now you have a Mishkan, now you should really be involved in offering up the Karbanis, right? And they offered the karbanis in the midbar. Except for those karbanis about which it says that only when you come into Eretz Yisrael do you bring up the karbanis. So why would Hashem have told Moshe close to going into Eretz Yisrael about the karbanis? Why didn't he say it right when the Mishkan was established? So we could say that it says that the advantage and the news of this parsha is it says Tzavis b'nei Yisrael, instruct the b'nei Yisrael and speak to them. The Hashem is instructing Moshe to give zeros, to give encouragement. This is like a pep talk to all the Jewish people that they should make sure the karbanis are brought. The communal karbanis should be brought in their proper time. But the details of the karbanis, we could say, that were already given over to Moshe earlier, as soon as there was a Mishkan, and he right away gave it over to Bnei Yisrael, gave it to the Kayanim, who needed to know. Here, there's an emphasis, tell the Bnei Yisrael about these communal karbanis, because now they're going to go into it. So they should all be involved to make sure that these karbanis are established properly. That's one way of thinking, that they were said separately. First one was said right at the beginning, the Mishkan was erected, and the second was right here at the end of the Bnei Yisrael sojourn in the desert in the year 40. Or there's another way of thinking, that both parshas were set together. And on the contrary, our parsha of karbanis was said before the parsha that we read about in Emor, which speaks about more the details of the Yom Tov. Why? Because you see what it says in Parshas Emor, you shall offer up a fire offering to Hashem. And it doesn't say exactly what kind of a carbon. Because if we say that these two parshas were taught together, we could say that already the details of the korbanos were already mentioned. In other words, the Pinchas one was actually taught together with the Emor one, with the Pinchas one being first, because it has all the details of the korbanos. And that's why in the Emor parsha, when it refers back, you shall bring the burnt sacrifice, the Isha, the fiery offering. Which one? The one we just spoke about. Yeah. Now, however, so why aren't they taught together? But for some reason, the Torah put the portion of Pinchas at the end of the 40 years. How would you place it not in the chronological order that it was said? But we have a rule. Ein mukta mucha b'tei. Rashi uses this rule often. We have a rule that there's no chronological order in the way things are lined up in the Torah. And if you say this, that they were actually set together, that both parshas were set together, so that would make sense that in the beginning of the portion of the Karbonis in Emor, which says, speak to the Bnei Yisrael and instruct them about the festivals of Hashem, it's an instruction to distinguish the further details, the details that I'm about to mention further, to distinguish them from all the laws of the Yom Tov that the Eibishter already said, the laws of Pinchas. That which one should you instruct the Bnei Yisrael? The Parshas Emor, the language is much more instructive about telling all the Bnei Yisrael. Daber el Bnei Yisrael, speak to the Bnei Yisrael and say to them about the Me'adim of Hashem. Much more instructive about giving over the Me'adim, because if we say that they were taught together and the Pinchas was actually prior, in other words, the parsha of Me'adim, the way it's brought in Pinchas was earlier, there is all the details about the Korbanos, that's actually more relevant just to the Kohanim. And now, the way that the Me'adim and Torah Parshat Emor instruct the Bnei Yisrael, this is really relevant to all the Bnei Yisrael because there's more details there about the Yom Tov. And that's also why in Parshas, that would also help explain, says Rebbe in square brackets, why in Parshas Emor, it says, before every Yom Tov, Vayitaber Hashem, and Hashem spoke to Moshe saying about this Yom Tov, and then Hashem spoke to Moshe saying about this Yom Tov. In our Parshas, just one long, so to speak, discussion. Hashem says, instruct the Bnei Yisrael, and then he gives all the Korbanos. Why? Because when in our Parshas where it says, instruct the Bnei Yisrael, Tzavis Bnei Yisrael, it's just a general introduction to the general parsha of the Me'ades, of the Yom Tov and the Korbanos, but it's actually going on our Korbanos and the Korbanos spoken about in Parshas Emor. Then Hashem gave a much more detailed instruction. Speak to the Bnei Yisrael and tell them. These are the things that he has to tell all the Yidden. What it says in Parshas Emor, because it gives the details of the Yom Tov. And that's why it says by every Yom Tov there, Parshas Emor says, Dabar Bnei Yisrael. So you see much more instruction by the Eibishter to make sure to give over to Bnei Yisrael, because it's not Korbanos there. It's about the nature of the Yom Tov. Zayin. Since there's the rule that there's no chronological order in the Torah, it's said in Pshutei Shel Mikra, it's used in a place when there's no other choice. Usually we say it's spoken about in chronological order. We don't have any way to be able to understand how the chronology works, then we say, well, things in Torah don't have to be chronological, but usually they are, unless there's a reason not to. So we have to understand that here also, according to Pshutei Shel Mikra, the fact, why is this parsha spoken about, not when it was said, which would be right after the Mishkan was erected, but here at the end of 40 years. And actually, as Rashi points out, in this parsha, the Pasuk says, instructed the Bnei Yisrael to bring the daily carbon. What does Rashi say? Where does this come into context? He says, because what was just said earlier on in the parsha? Because what does it say? What was said above? Moshe told Hashem, please put a person, I'm not taking the Jews into Eretz Yisrael, appoint a person to be in charge of the Bnei Yisrael. And then Hashem tells Moshe, you're telling me to worry about my people, tell my people to worry about me. tell them to make sure to offer up a carbon. So the here it doesn't say Lama Nismacha. Why did the Torah put this information together? Why does the Torah speak about the instruction of Karbanis right after Yivkid Hashem, Moshe's request to place somebody in the Bnei Yisrael? We're there, I would say that what? That I would say that this it's just a placing of the, really the parsha was said earlier, it was just placed here. Why is it Nismacha? Why was it placed here? Close. No, it says Lama Ma'omur Lamaila, Rashi says. What was said just before Moshe Rabbeinu's instructions to appoint somebody on top of the Bnei Yisrael? So we see here from Shulchan Aruch is that if it's written here, it probably was said here. Right? However, if at the end of the Parsha Karbanos here, it wouldn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke all the details of Bnei Yisrael, and which would mean that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't repeat, but he just started speaking about Nedarim, that would cause us, force us to say that this Parsha really wasn't said here. It was said earlier, together with Parshas Emor. The Torah just puts it here. For some reason, the Torah tells us about it here. But it was really said earlier. And that's why it doesn't say that he repeated this Parsha. Because he didn't repeat all these details. He repeated what? Only the details of Parshas Emor. That's what I would have said. So that's why the Pasuk here has to say, no, Moshe Rabbeinu said all these details. To make it clear that Moshe Rabbeinu gave all these details about the Korbanos over to all the Bnei Yisrael as well. And therefore we understand that the Parsha was really said here. Just like the simple reading of the Pasuk, that the Parsha was said here, wasn't said earlier. So now let's try and sum this. This is a bit of a leap here. The Rebbe is saying is that there was room to say, one would think, perhaps indeed this parsha was said earlier. For some reason, the Torah puts it here. Ein mukdim b'chah b'Torah, there's no chronology. That's not a problem. That's not a far leap to say it. However, and if that would be the case, then we would understand that we'd be no need to say, if it wouldn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu repeated this of Bnei Yisrael, we would say he didn't. Earlier he had said the relevant things, and now didn't need to say it. Therefore, it needs to be said here beferush. In order to establish, no, that this parsha was said here, and Moshe Rabbeinu repeated it to the Bnei Yisrael, it has to say it beferush. Now we know why the Torah has to say it. Right? We know why the Torah has to say it, because we were left with a question. Rashi says that otherwise, if it wouldn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu said it, we would say that Moshe Rabbeinu, by Dabba Moshe Rosh Matis, he went straight on to saying the laws of vows. He never repeated this halacha. So that's why we need this person to say he repeated it. Our question on that Rashi was, we would just assume that Moshe Rabbeinu repeated it, no? Just like he repeated everything he was told to repeat. Doesn't always have to say that he repeated it in Israel. So the Rebbe presented here, no, that according to Pshut Shemiko, there could be a way of thinking that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't repeat it, because it was really said earlier, and it was just placed here. So that's why we do need this instruction to be said that he did, that he repeated it, right? Once we need this instruction to say that he repeated it, in other words, because otherwise I would think, Vaidaba Meshach Rashi Matis, that he never repeated it. So we need this person to say that it was repeated. Again, Rabbi Yishmael, what was stated in Rashi is that the reason it needs to be written that Moshe Rabbeinu repeated it, because otherwise I would say he didn't. He went straight on to Vaidab Moshe Rosh Hamatis. Okay, granted, that's understood. But the Rebbe's question on that Rashi is, why over here would I assume that if it didn't say? And the Rebbe gave this all arichas to say, no, because I would maybe think here that the pasuk, that the instruction was not actually given here. It was given earlier. And Taka wasn't repeated. Moshe Rabbeinu only repeated the previous parsha of Maidis, which was much more relevant to all of Bnei Yisrael. He didn't repeat this Pinchas part, which was only Karbanos. That's what I may think. So that's what Rashi is saying. That's why we need this pasuk to say, no. He didn't move straight on to Vayda B'Meishar HaShematas. He repeated what he had just been said. Because that's Pshut HaShemikra, the taka was said here. So in this way, Rabbi explains what Rashi means by saying that Rabbi Yishmol said that there's a summation. If it wouldn't say here that Moshe Rabbeinu repeated the Karbonis, I would say maybe he didn't. And the Rebbe asked, why? No. So the Rebbe gave a whole arichas, explained that in this case, taka, I would think maybe that there's details that aren't relevant to the Bnei Yisrael, and therefore they weren't repeated. Tafka over here. So over here, we need the pasuk to say, it didn't go straight on. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't move straight on to speaking about the Nedarim to Rosh HaMatis. He first repeated this. Because you would think maybe that in this case, he didn't. Ches. Another distinction between Parshas Amedes of the way that the Yom Tov spoke about an Emer and the Parshas, come on, it's in our Parsha. There it says in the end of the Parsha, Vaydaber Moshe. Moshe spoke. And here it says, Vayomer Moshe. Moshe said. Vaydaber and Vayomer. We could say the differentiation between Vaydaber and Vayomer, Al Derech Halacha, in the way of Halacha. The Parsha, somewhere, speaks about mainly the halachas about Yom Tov that are relevant at all times. The prohibition of doing work on Yom Tov, the individual mitzvah of every Yom Tov. So there it says in a lashon vayidaber. Vayidaber is more continual. It's a thing that nimshach v'le nifsak. It's spoken and continues and never interrupts. This is a standard. Till today, Yom Tov mean no work and the individual mitzvah of each Yom Tov. However, in our parsha, we're mainly talking about korbanos. So, in a simple understanding, we're not able to do in this Zman HaGolos, in time of Golos. What can we do about the korbanos? What can we do about the korbanos during this time? We can learn. We can study about the korbanos. It says anybody who learns the Torah of the burnt offering of a Eilah, it's as if he offered a burnt offering. About that, it says Amira, because it's something that's not, so to speak, immutable or ongoing without interruption. There is, unfortunately, interruption. We don't have the korbanos. We can only virtually, so to speak, do the korbanos by learning about the korbanos. Furthermore, says the Rebbe, the dinim about the meidim about the Yom Tovim that are there in all times equally. About that, it says Vaidaber. That is a lashon kosher. That's a more harsh, more instructive language. Hashem demands betekev, demands with strength, with force, so to speak. By the Jewish people, they have to be mekayim the mitzvahs without. Now, there's no difference between time is hamikdash or not. When it comes, however, to the way a yid does karbanis in the time of galus, where that's only can only be achieved through learning about the Torah, about the laws of bringing the karbanis. So there, the Eibishter doesn't give a firm instruction. It's not a firm obligation and an imperative that you can say you must learn about the karbanis. It'll be as if you were karbanis. No. On the contrary, we in our the Eden emphasize in the davening, may it be the will of Hashem, that you Eibishter should build the Beis Hamikdash very quickly, and then we'll make the korbanos the way they're supposed to be, the way you wrote about it in the Torah, in our parsha, right? Not just learn about the korbanos, it'll be as if we brought korbanos, but mamish, we daven Eibishter, give us the opportunity to really bring korbanos. So the whole thing, if I understand correctly what the Rebbe is saying, is here. The whole thing of doing a virtual carbon, learning about carbonus, we all know it's not the real thing. But we daven, we say, Eibishter, please give us the real thing. Okay, so the Eibishter says, look, but I gave you something, at least in the interim, you could, you know, you guys could do it. Learn about the Teres Eila, but it's not a definitive, cross the board instruction. You must learn. No. Really, what must be is the Eibishter should bring us Beis HaMikdash, then we'll do what we need to do, what the Eibishter told us, bring karbanos. In the meantime, Hashem asks us in a lashon raka, in a softer term, in a more endearing term. So he says, please, learn in the meantime, even though I haven't given you the opportunity to do the karban the way it's supposed to be, but learn about the karbanos, read about the karbanos, the way it's written in our parsha. Say the karbanos in the davening. Learn about Teiras Eila. then it's like me, like if you learn about the, it'll be as if you bought the korbanos, and that's actually going to lead to bringing the korban oila in its literal sense. That's going to help bring the Mashiach, because that's going to be when Mashiach comes. We'll build the Beis Hamikdash, and they'll bring all the and all the korbanos will come back, as all the mitzvahs are enumerated in the Torah. This should be speedily in our days, and then we'll be able to do before Hashem, lefanecha, before you Hashem, the korbanos of our obligation, as you have instructed us. Even though there's a ha'ara here, even after Hashem instructs us with a harsh of Aydaber, even so, he also asks us, Im b'chokeisai teleichu, never quotes here in a footnote, Im means, I beg of you, please, please fulfill my mitzvahs. Even when there's a mitzvah that needs to be fulfilled properly, even so Hashem cajoles us, so to speak to us endearingly. But certainly here, where we can't do it properly, the Eved is just trying to encourage us to engage in the Torah Seila, that's Vayemer. Thank you very much.